Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet, turn with me to Acts chapter 18. We're going to start reading in Acts 18, but we're going to keep reading into Acts 19 because when the Bible was recorded, this book was recorded by Luke, who was a physician. He was a contemporary of Paul, and he traveled with Paul. And we're going to start reading in chapter 18, but when the Bible was written, it wasn't split up in chapter and verse. That was added later so that we could easily identify and find places in the Bible. But this story has really been compelling to me as of late, and the Lord laid it on my heart to talk to you, tagging onto last week the recipe for community conversion. And I believe that this is a big missing part of why we're not seeing community conversion in the United States of America, which I really feel like is God's heart. So Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 9, Acts chapter 19, verse 7. We have it on the screen here if you don't have your Bible with you. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Now, let me just note that this word scriptures is not talking to what we know as the Bible, okay? This is talking about the what is the Old Testament, okay? So he was very eloquent and he understood clearly the Old Testament. He came to Ephesus, which was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, when you see Lord, it's talking about Jesus. Though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So he used the Old Testament to point out Jesus' existence and the reality of who he was. It goes on to say in the next chapter, Acts chapter 19, picking up in verse 1, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, so he'd left Ephesus and he'd gone to Corinth, while he was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus. So Paul is now where Apollos was just ministering. And he found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, well, then what were you baptized into? And they said, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is Christ Jesus, is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God, which clearly defines and lays out what our life should look like and be. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to conform more and more through today, this time that we have set together, into the image of Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us so that we did not have to live a life that is full of sin, full of decay, and full of issues, but instead we can have life and life more abundantly through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so today, we fix our eyes upon you, Jesus. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give life to the words that are spoken, that you have given to your church today. As the Bible says, let him who hears, who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, I pray for the other gatherings and churches that are meeting right now in this community. God, may they hear your voice. May they know you. God, we're not the only one. We are simply part of the body of Christ, and we pray blessing on everywhere that is meeting under the name of Jesus today, as we have brotherhood and sisterhood through the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for being here. You could have gone to church anywhere. You could have stayed home and watched football. Pastor Jeff said he was praying last night. I too was praying last night. And I don't think the Lord heard me because Florida still lost in overtime to Tennessee. But nevertheless, I was praying. But I'll say this, I refuse to be louder watching my team lose than I am in church blessing God today. And I'm just thankful that we get to be here together as the body of Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning in accordance with, and I almost ended my sermon last week with this, and I thought, no, this needs a whole sermon. We need to talk. We need more time on this. Because if we're going to see true community conversion, then we as the people of God must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you today about the importance of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, it's not just going to be a bunch of hooting and hollering, not that I'm against that, but I want to make sure that you understand that the Holy Spirit is not just something that comes upon you to make you happy. The Holy Spirit is one who comes in you to make you holy, okay? And to make you useful to the kingdom of God. And so I want to talk to you about the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me preface this by saying, not belief in the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism means immersion. That means that He is in me and all around me. Not just I say, oh yeah, I believe in the Holy Spirit because He's the third person of the Godhead. He's part of the Trinity. No, no, no. Not I believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I have relationship with Him. I have communion with Him. I listen to Him. He leads me. He guides me. He talks to me. He helps me. Many people believe in the Holy Spirit while refusing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul came to them, he said, were you guys baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even know there was one. Well, there was a Holy Spirit. And he said, well, we're going to have to fix that. We're going to have to fix that right now, okay? So the worldwide church that you and I consider ourselves to be a part of is rightly considered to be birthed on the day of Pentecost. It's called Pentecost because Penta means 50. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, the disciples were in the upper room and they were praying and they were seeking God because that's what Jesus had told them to do. That it says, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it entered the room, and there appeared above all of their heads as cloven tongues of fire. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, okay? And that's what we consider the conception of the church, that Jesus looked at Peter in the book of Matthew, and he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So Jesus prophetically spoke of the church, but the church was birthed after he had already ascended to heaven, and the disciples were gathered together in that upper room, and it was the Spirit of God who gave birth to the church of God. And so that's what we consider our birthday. So let me ask you this, how was the church birthed? Was it birthed by man, or was it birthed by God? It was birthed by God through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, how foolish can you be? Wow, Paul, very encouraging. I mean, what a thing to say. He was just like, you guys, how are you guys so foolish? How can you think that after starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect through the flesh? If I could ask the church of God anything today, it would be this. How is it that you believe that God birthed his church through the Spirit in the upper room, but now you think you have perfected church through the flesh? Yeah. Where did we get this foolish idea to think that it's built upon the giftings of a man or a woman, that it's built upon platforms and screens and lights and excellence and doing everything the right way? No, the Spirit of God birthed the church, so therefore, however something is birthed, it must be sustained. The church is going to be sustained through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do we really think that we can continue to advance the kingdom of God and his church by our flesh when he begun it in the Spirit? We need, church, the activity and the voice of Holy Spirit in our life. If you say, I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's an important part of Christian living. I want to say this, the Holy Spirit is not an optional upgrade for very zealous spiritual people. For the uber righteous. Oh man, if you really are passionate for God, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues. No, the Holy Spirit is a necessity. He's a necessary part of effective Christianity. He's the third person of the Godhead and is without a doubt the most necessary component for effective Christian living is walking and living in the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you keep reading Galatians chapter 5, that's what you will find that Paul says. He says, if we've been made alive by the Spirit, then let's walk in the Spirit. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I said a moment ago, he's the most necessary component, the Holy Spirit is, for walking and living a successful and effective Christian life. Let me ask this. What is Christianity? Christianity is the following of Jesus Christ. It's not church attendance. It's not moral excellence. There's some people, I'm gonna bother some of y'all. There's some people got better morals than you. Don't follow Jesus. They hold themselves to a higher standard of living than you and I, but they don't follow Jesus. Christianity is emulating the lifestyle and practices of Jesus Christ, who is a humble carpenter from Nazareth, who is now, we understand and know, the Messiah of the entire world. Christianity is modeling our lifestyle after what he came and did while he was on this earth, which is absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. Jesus went to the Father. But you know what I love about Jesus? He didn't leave us alone. He gave us a helper. He gave us an aid. He gave us an advocate. He gave us who we know as Parakletos, which means to come to one's aid. Okay, so Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but don't worry, I'm not going to, this is in John chapter 14, if you guys want to go fact check me, because we're just, everybody loves fact checking now, right? If you want to go fact check me, John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send you a helper. That word helper is the Greek word parakletos. And it is two Greek words that you put together. Para meaning close beside, kaleo meaning to make the call. Okay? So para means the Holy Spirit is not far off, but he's near. He's right there with you. That's why Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For when we don't know what to pray, he knows what we ought to pray. And he makes up basically for the lack that we have in our life. So the Holy Spirit is para, he's close beside. He's also to make the call. That means this, and here's what I want you to understand. If the Holy Spirit, and he is part of the Godhead, that means he is perfect,
yeah.
Right? So he never misses.
That's right.
He never makes a mistake. In game two of the 2022 World Series between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros, there was an umpire by the name of Pat Hoberg. Pat Hoberg called the very first what they think perfect game as an umpire. That means that every time a ball was thrown that was in the strike zone, he called it a strike. Every time a ball was thrown outside of the strike zone that was technically a ball, he called it a ball. In fact, I have his scorecard. They made a scorecard for him of his game that he made, if you don't mind putting that up there for me. So this is the strike zone. If for you guys that don't understand baseball, it's okay. This should clear it up for you. These black lines, this is the strike zone. And you can see down here, called ball accuracy, 100%. Called strike accuracy, 100%. That means every time that the batter did not swing the bat, he made the right call. And here's the amazing thing. It's the only time it's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. One time. Now, Pat Hoberg has umped 1,094 games in his career as an umpire, and he got it right one time. And everybody's just like, he's amazing. Actually, he's on restriction right now for betting. So, you know, but he did call a good game. Derek Thomas is actually the top umpire right now in the league, and he has an accuracy rating of 96.1%. Do you know what that means? That means he actually gets it wrong 3.9% of the time. Okay? So the Holy Spirit gets it right 1,000% of the time. He never misses. He's always right there to make the call. So view the Holy Spirit in this nature. He's an umpire that's sitting there in your heart going, that's a ball, don't swing. That's a strike. That's the one for you to hit. That's your pitch, right? So why on earth we rely on our own understanding when we have access to perfect understanding.
Yeah.
Why would we rely on our own strength when we have supply of infinite strength? Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. If we want to see community conversion through repentance, revival, repair, reformation, and rejoicing, then we're going to need to rely on the help that comes from Holy Spirit. And here's one thing. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. There's no I'm going to do it this way. No, there is no other way. You can't rely, you can't make up for it with your talents. You can't make up for it with your efforts. You can't make up for it with how good you are at something. You can't make up for it with your popularity. Nothing substitutes for the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something that has boggled my mind since the time that I was a small boy. Why is it that the Holy Spirit is so divisive? Now, let me rephrase that. That's how people would say that. He's not divisive. People are divisive about the Holy Spirit. Yeah. If you read the Bible, it's very clear who the Spirit is, why God gave him to us, and what he wants to do in and through our lives and in the world today. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit has become a very divisive topic. In fact, in modern Christianity, it's one of the main things that separates. Are you Pentecostal or are you not Pentecostal? Are you a cessationist or do you believe that the fivefold is still at work and that the gifts are still at work? And so many people get upset or offended. In fact, there are some people that if people speak in tongues, they will leave the church, right? If somebody falls out on the floor, they will leave the church, right? If God begins to move and there's prophecy and people begin to get touched and people begin to get healed, they will literally leave the church and then will get offended by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this very clearly, and I will not back down on this. If the work of the Holy Spirit offends you, you are offended by the wrong things. If someone speaking in tongues offends you, you're offended by the wrong things. If someone falling out on the floor under the power of God offends you, you're offended by the wrong things. You know why? Because I really think that we pick the wrong battles. Why don't you get mad about the fact that they're murdering unborn children inside of people's wombs? Why don't you get mad and frustrated and upset about the fact that millions of people have been sold into human trafficking in the past few years? Why don't you get upset about the fact that they are filling our children in the schools with sexual immorality and gender confusion? Why don't you get upset about the fact that there are so many actual sin issues going on and the church is so upset? They spoke in tongues. They did this. They did that. Why don't you actually get offended by things that are offensive to God instead of being offended at the things that God created and spoke about in the Word? He literally tells us that they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And there are people that believe that that shouldn't be for today. It's like, where'd you get that from? Why? I'm going to borrow a line from Paul. Why are you so foolish? I'll say it in even more way. Why are you so stupid? There's things to actually be upset about. And you're mad because somebody said shundalundahaya. You know what I mean? Like, come on, there are so many more things that we could be upset about. And I'm not going to back away from the moving of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. People say, well, that's just weird. No, people are weird. Go anywhere and you will realize people are weird. It's amazing. People will watch the NFL on TV, a grown man in his 40s with a mortgage and a full-time job, painted from head to toe in the ugliest color, Seahawk green, you have ever seen in your life, screaming 14 Bud Lights deep on rows 7A and just screaming. And it's like, wow, he's a passionate fan. No, he's a fool. He's weird. Okay? And then come to church and go, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go somewhere that doesn't offend me. Why? Because we're offended by the wrong things. If the working of the Holy Spirit offends you, then you're not offended by people. You're offended by God. Because the Holy Spirit will work through people. If the gifts of the Spirit bother you, then you're not offended by people or bothered by people. I don't like that pastor. He made fun of people at football games. You're offended by the wrong things, brother. Why not actually get upset about things that are actual sin issues and bother God? I truly believe that you cannot and you will not make a difference in the kingdom of God without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe. Now, I did not say you cannot go to heaven. Now, this may split some of you, the real Pentecostal people may get mad at me now. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? That's the prerequisite for salvation. Okay? The Holy Spirit comes on you to live an effective and powerful life here. Jesus saves you for heaven. The Holy Spirit comes in you for life here. Once you get to heaven, you won't need the Holy Spirit anymore because you'll be with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for an effective life here. And you cannot make a difference the way that you're called to make a difference without being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go back to our text. Apollos, he was a very interesting character in the Bible. Apollos, historically, we know through the Bible, it says that he was a certain Jew, but he was born in Alexandria. Now, Alexandria was in Egypt. It was the second largest city in the Roman Empire, but Apollos, we know because of his name, Apollos, he was actually Greek-speaking, so he was actually Hellenist. That means a Jew that speaks Greek, and so it doesn't mean he's going to hell, okay? He was a Hellenist. He was just a Greek-speaking Jew who was born and raised in Alexandria, which was a Mecca and a hot spot for philosophy and for knowledge in the ancient world, and so he came to believe in Jesus. So this is amazing. He's a Jew who grew up in Egypt, who speaks Greek, who comes to believe in the Messiah. And all he knew was the baptism unto repentance. That's all he understood. If you believe in Jesus and you repent of your sins, you will be saved. He knew nothing of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He knew nothing of the gifts that accompany the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit, but he knew the scriptures. That means he knew the Old Testament and he knew Jesus, but he did not know the better way of the help of the Holy Spirit. So here he is, he's in Ephesus and he's preaching and he's teaching the scriptures and he's preaching and teaching Jesus and he's preaching and teaching the baptism of John. And he's there, he's living in post-Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already been poured out, but he doesn't yet know of the work of the Holy Spirit because all he knows is the baptism unto repentance. And I'm so thankful for people like Priscilla and Aquila. Can you put Acts chapter 18 back up there for me, please, Donna? It says that he was speaking boldly in the synagogue when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. So he is having a public presentation of Jesus. He's talking about the scriptures. And I'm so thankful that even though he made a mistake publicly, Priscilla and Aquila took him aside privately. And one thing that we have got to understand is we've got to be people that when we know the better way, you don't have to prove to everybody else that you know the better way. The most important thing is that they took him aside, not to embarrass him, not to make him an idiot. I'm so thankful that they weren't people that go, Apollos is a heretic. Never let him preach or teach in the synagogue again. Instead, they saw he has passion, he has zeal, he has gifting, and he's going to reach people that we're never going to reach. So instead of refuting him, instead of putting him down, let's take him aside and empower him to be a better version of who he already is. So they didn't go, man, don't ever let that guy have the microphone again. How many people's callings have been dashed upon the rocks because some prideful pastor or some prideful deacon, they made one mistake when they were preaching and they, instead of taking them aside and privately saying, hey, there's a better way to do that, they just blasted them publicly. Or they said, you're never preaching in my church again. You're a heretic. You're wrong. But that's not what Aquila and Priscilla did. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit. They had a better way. They had a helper. They had an advocate. They had an umpire who helped them make the right call when most of us would have made the wrong call. We would have debated Apollos. Hey, you're wrong, man. There is a better baptism, and it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a repentance. It's that the Holy Spirit will come on you, and he will make you holy. But instead, they said, no, let's take him aside. Let's not cause more discord among the brethren. Do you realize that in the book of Proverbs, it says 6 things God hates, yea, 7 are an abomination to him, and the 7th thing listed is one who sows discord among the brethren. It's something that God absolutely cannot stand. is for there to be discord in his house because he wants it to be a place of unity. So they take him aside and they teach him, according to Acts chapter 18, the way of God more accurately. What possibly could that be? They taught him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? We know that because contextually, we get to be Sherlock Holmes for a second, okay? There's some clues here. The clues are this. He's preaching the baptism of John. He's preaching Jesus. How could it be more accurate unless they taught him the way of the Holy Spirit, right? So they didn't overreact. They didn't discredit him. They didn't shout him down. They taught him a more accurate way. You know what he does? He goes on to Corinth and he becomes probably known as the greatest preacher of his day. We would say that's Paul. No, actually the Bible tells us that Apollos was more eloquent than Paul. He was a better speaker. That means this. Paul might have had better things to say, but people would rather listen to Apollos. He said it in a better way. Okay, so he was more eloquent of a speaker. He was a powerful communicator. And in fact, he becomes such an effective worker and a minister of the gospel that when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he has to correct them and say, hey, some of you guys are saying, hey, I'm Paul's follower. Hey, I'm Apollos' follower. Hey, I'm Peter's follower. And he says, did Paul save you? Did Apollos die for you? Did Peter change your life? No, no, no. It's Jesus Christ and the cross that changed you. We're nothing. One of us plants, one of us waters. It's only God that can give you the increase. But Apollos, he became a very effective minister. Now, here's what's amazing is if you keep reading in Acts 18, carrying over into 19, Apollos has been at Ephesus and he's been teaching Priscilla and Aquila. They teach him the way of God more accurately. And once he submits to their teaching and their better way, they write letters over to the people in Corinth and they say, hey, we want you to receive Apollos. He goes there and he begins to preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go forward into chapter 19, the Bible says that Paul comes behind Apollos and he arrives at Ephesus and he finds some disciples and he says, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, this shows how important the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to Paul's doctrine and theology. This is the question that he asks them. Did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they go, we didn't know there was one. He says, well, then what'd you get baptized into? I just see like this discourse taking place. And they go, well, we got baptized into John's baptism. So here's what's happened. Apollos has proselytized these men unknowingly leading them into a partial gospel. He got them saved in baptism into the baptism of John, which is a baptism of repentance, but he didn't know that they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, thankfully, Priscilla and Aquila showed him a better way, a more excellent way, taught him the way of God more accurately. And so Paul comes behind him and he finds the converts. And what does he do? He shows them a better way. Yeah. So Apollos did show them a better way than what they were currently in, but he didn't know the fullness of it. So Paul comes behind him. Why? Because God is gracious and loving and compassionate. And he saw, okay, because you're not judged based upon what you don't know, but what you do know. So Apollos did everything that he knew to do, but then after he left, here's these guys and they're still without the Holy Spirit. So God sends Paul, who knows the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to ask them this question, have you been baptized? So that means this, God in his grace has you and all of us covered. Yeah. And I'm telling you today the way that basically I believe Priscilla and Aquila told Apollos and Paul told these 12 men that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it says once he laid hands and prayed on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. When the Holy Spirit fills you, it's not just so that he can mark another one off his list. He's not keeping some kind of tally in heaven going, I got another one filled. It's so he can use you. It's so that you can be effective. It's so that you can operate in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, all of the workings of miracles, all the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to use you for that. See, here's the thing is we think, no, God wants to use the pastor for that. Do you know what it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4? It says he, speaking of Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not the minister's job. It's your job. It's my job too, because before I'm a minister, I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have a responsibility to be used by God everywhere that I go. And so I'm telling you today, there's a better way to live, and it's not found in a New York Times bestseller. There's a better way to live, and it's not found in making more money or climbing the ladder at work and becoming more successful. It's not acquired by human means. Not that I'm bashing any of those things. The better way to live is what Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos. It's what Paul taught these 12 men that he found. It's to live with the indwelling filling of the Holy Spirit. And let me remind you what I said earlier. There is no substitute. There's not one. You can't. There's nothing that you can go, yeah, you know what? I can get by with this. Yeah. Maybe you've had times when it's like, well, I don't have the right tool, but I can make this tool work. There is nothing like that when it comes to living with Jesus. There is no, oh, well, yeah, he said be filled with the Spirit, but I think I'm just going to be filled with just love and just joy. Do you realize that those things come by the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, right? All those things, you can't have those without the Holy Spirit. But we're trying to have the fruit of the Spirit without the enjoy. And it's amazing to me, no one's refuting the fruit of the Spirit. They have problems with the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because tongues don't make sense, right? What do you mean you already know what's going to happen before it even happens? Well, because God already knows and he spoke to me and he told me, right? That's called a word of wisdom, okay? So how is it that we're okay with the fruit of the Spirit? Because love's not offensive. Joy's not offensive. Kindness isn't offensive. Peace isn't offensive. But the thing is we don't realize that we actually are not walking at times in the fullness of those things because we're resisting or we're not allowing him to have the indwelling that he wants to have inside of our life. It's an important topic. I'm going to ask Catherine if you would come and just join me and begin to play. We're going to close in just a moment. I want to say this to you. In a moment, I'm going to make an altar call and I'm going to invite you to come and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Listen, it's not me filling you, it's the Holy Spirit filling you, okay? I'm going to pray with anyone that wants prayer. If it's your first time being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or it's your 1,000th time being filled with the Holy Spirit, you may say, well, how is that scriptural? Because the same people that were in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 were also in another room in Acts chapter 4, and it says that as they prayed for boldness, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That is my theological basis for believing that you can be filled with the Spirit more than once. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I need to be fresh filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. But let me preface it by saying this. I am not saying that you have to speak in tongues today. I'm simply saying this, that the only way to not give your flesh its way is to walk step in step with the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that say to us if we flip it around? If you don't walk in the Spirit, your flesh is always going to get its way. The only answer to the thing that you and I wake up with every single day that makes us have enmity with God, because the carnal mind, the flesh, is warring against the Spirit. And the only way to put that to death is by choosing and deciding, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you have to wake up speaking in tongues every day. And I'm not saying that God will not come upon you and you won't receive a prayer language. I hope that you do, because the book of Jude says praying in the Holy Spirit will build up your most holy faith. Speaking in tongues is in the Bible over and over again in the New Testament. It's a part of Christian living. It's not something to be scared of. It's something to allow God to teach us how it should be used and operational in the body of Christ. Are there rules? Are there ways to go about it? Absolutely. But how is it that we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater because we saw it abused one time? Right? I got food poisoning from Zaxby's one time. Terrible. Terrible situation. Don't wish it upon anybody. You know what? I've eaten at Zaxby's again. I've gotten sick from eating Taco Bell before. Guess what? Got it on Wednesday night on the way home from church. Bless God. And it blessed me in a way that nobody blessed me at church that night. I'm just going to be honest. But I've gotten sick from eating it before, but I go back. Why? Because I don't judge all Taco Bells based on the one bad experience that I had, or all Zaxby's on the one bad experience that I had. But so many people have seen the Holy Spirit's gifts abused or manufactured, and we go, I don't want anything to do it. You know what? It's just safer, stay away with it. No, it's not. You need to understand how important living life with the Holy Spirit actually is. And it's so much deeper and greater than just an encounter at church. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have an encounter at church. He does. My life has been marked and changed by the Holy Spirit touching my life. But you know what? It was for where I was going, not just for where I was in that moment. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I'm going to ask you, if you want to be filled with the Spirit for the first time or the thousandth time, just come join me in the altar today. And we're just going to pray and cry out and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us fresh and new today. Father, we understand today that we cannot accomplish what you want us to accomplish in this community or in our life unless you are filling us by your Holy Spirit and we're walking by the Spirit. If you find yourself fulfilling the lust of the flesh, like Paul said, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do, you need to just ask God, God, fill me fresh and new with your Holy Spirit. Because if you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires that you have in your flesh, the things that you want, but instead you'll be obedient to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and where he wants you to go and what he wants you to say and how he wants you to live and the person that he wants you to become. And you can bring about community conversion in your school, in your job, in your home, in your neighborhood. And so, Father, we're asking that we would be filled fresh and new with the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm asking that every person that is here today, that you would fill them fresh and new with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that if there's any barriers in our life that would keep us from walking in your Spirit, Lord, I pray for anyone, if there's the Spirit of God. I heard this quote one time. It said, God will offend your mind to reveal your heart. Sometimes we get offended in our mind by the things of, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. That's because God's trying to get to your heart, because the heart is the most important thing. And so, Father, I pray for people today, if they're struggling with that sense of, I just don't know about tongues. I don't know about, is God still really healed? Does God still really speak? Are there still really prophets? Lord, I pray that people would be able to work through that and receive in their hearts the indwelling of the aid, the helper, the Paracletos that you gave us in your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you that you sent us the Holy Spirit. Even though you went to the Father, you didn't leave us orphans. And I pray for fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe people have received repentance. They've confessed their sins. They know I'm going to heaven. But Lord, I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit for effective lives here on the earth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of your flesh, but accomplishing everything that God has called you and set you out to do in this day, in this age, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. Hope you have a great week. Walk in the Spirit.